I appreciate Dana filling in this morning. My voice is not quite what it should be, so I was wanting to save it up for the sermon. Last night, Dana could tell I wasn't feeling well. I got up this morning and I had a choice. I could either stay at home or I could come on in because we were having the 40th anniversary and all these different things. So to quote one of my favorite lines from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I chose poorly. But we're going to get through this, okay? A couple of things I do want to mention. The pictures. We said we finished up pictures this week, and you may think, oh, gee whiz, I wish I'd have got my picture made for the directory. Aha. There's another chance. They're going to be coming back end of January, 1st of February to try to get snow angels that they missed or anybody else that they missed. So if you didn't get a chance to get your picture made this time, there is another chance, and we'll be advertising that more as it approaches end of January, 1st of February. And our thanks to the Vaughns and everybody else, the Stones, everybody else that was involved with getting all this thing organized, and we appreciate it. They told me last night that we were one of the nicest churches they had been to, so that was a nice thing to hear. So we look forward to that. As I've said, I'm not doing real well, so when you go out by me today, I usually shake hands and hug people. Don't do that today. Walk by, wave at me as you go by, okay? Yes. I know it's going to be hard for you to listen to me, perhaps, but trust me, this is going to hurt me more than it does you, okay? So we're reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. That's on your overhead. It's in the Pew Bible on page 833. And in the NIV translation, it sort of picks up in the middle of a sentence. So we just we'll go with that. That's first Colossians, first chapter, verses 11 through 20. Hear the word of God. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Now, the words king of seem to go together. In order to be a king, one must be the king of something. History, a favorite subject of mine, in that I used to be a history teacher, is full of various kings of many nations. Kings of Spain, kings of France, kings of England, to name but a few. Oh, well, that's kind of a wannabe king there at the end, if only his mother would let him. There are many other famous kings in various fields. See if you can name some of them. The king of beasts. I stumped you on the first one. You didn't get any? Lion. King of rock and roll. Elvis, the King of Swing, Benny Goodman, the King of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers, the King of the Wild Frontier, Davy Crockett. And I even hear that there's a King of Beers. But none of you know that. Okay. To be a king is to be the king of something. Today is a day known in the Christian church as Christ the King Sunday. It's the final Sunday of the church calendar year. Next week, we move into Advent, a time of preparation and expectation. But for this week, we deal with a time of closing things out. And as you all well know, this coming Thursday, we will observe Thanksgiving, a time of reflection and giving praise. So obviously, this is a time of year to give pause and reflect. And as I dealt with today's scripture, I thought about Christ the King. And what can we say that Christ is the King of? Now, there's no shortage of references to kings in the Bible. I've read that the word king appears over 3,500 times in the Bible. There's a place in the 6th chapter of John where some of the people tried to make Jesus a king in the earthly manner of royalty as we understand it. They wanted Jesus to be the type of king who lived in a palace, made laws and collected taxes, and waged wars. But that wasn't the type of king Jesus Christ was to be. Our scripture today gives some insight into Christ the King. Paul was writing a letter to the church at Colossae. Colossae was a small town in Asia Minor, not a very important town in the overall scheme of things. But Paul had been instrumental in starting a Christian church there. And after moving on, received the discomforting news that false teachers were infiltrating the newly formed church. Paul wrote this letter to attempt to correct any erroneous teachings that were taking place. Who was Jesus? Was a question that was often argued in the first century and still is today. Was he a prophet? A great teacher? A messenger of God? Or something more? It's been said that in another of Paul's letters, Ephesus, that Ephesus defines the church of Christ. Well, this letter, Colossians, defines the Christ of the church. Here in Colossians, we are presented with an image of Christ very similar to the words that introduce us to the Gospel of John. You may know them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Paul wanted to tell those in Colossae in no uncertain terms just who Jesus the Christ was. If you read the Gospel of John, you will be presented with a Jesus who was in complete control. In John's Gospel, there's no question about who Jesus was. In John's Gospel, from the first chapter on, Jesus is recognized by people as the Son of God. Now, this is in contrast to some of the other Gospels where Jesus often tells people not to tell anyone about his healings and miracles until the time is right. In John's Gospel, there's no prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane asking if there's another way. In John's Gospel, Jesus speaks and the soldiers who come to arrest him fall to the ground. In John's Gospel, nothing is done until Jesus allows it. John's Gospel presents a Christ who is on a mission, who knows exactly what has to be done, who speaks of himself as God in the flesh. The same image is established by Paul in the letter to the Colossians. Christ is the King of the universe. Christ is the King of the cosmos. Paul says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By firstborn, Paul expressed Christ's priority to and supremacy over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Paul says that every created thing has its origin in Christ and exists for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Paul presents Christ as the super glue of the universe. Christ is the king of the universe that holds the cosmos together. Paul said Christ was the king of the universe and that Christ was the king of the church. Paul wrote, he is the head of the body, the church. As a church, as a king rules a nation, As a head rules a body, so Christ rules the church. Christ is the beginning, the source of the church. Without Christ, there would be no church. It's important to remember that the church is not a body of Christians. The church is the body of Christ. Although we are justified in saying that Christ is the king of the church, it truly goes beyond that. The church as the body of Christ can be viewed as a living organism of which Christ is the life and the animating spirit. A theologian once wrote, as in the human body, the nerves communicate to the head the sensations of every organ and originate and control the movements of every organ, so in the mystical body of Christ, the head is conscious of the experience of every member and prompts and guides the action of every member, unless it be paralyzed or dislocated by sin. Or perhaps stated a bit more clearly in a contemporary Christian song by the group Casting Crowns. If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. And we are the body of Christ. Paul said that Christ is the king of the universe. Christ is the king of the church, and Christ is the king of the individual. Another major point of contention in the first century church was whether Gentiles, non-Jews, needed to become Jewish in order to be Christians. Christianity was viewed as a division of Judaism. For a Gentile to become Jewish would involve circumcision for a man, plus adherence to the Jewish dietary laws. Paul wanted to make it clear that the covenant with God made through Christ was superior to the covenant of the law found in the Old Testament. When Christ is the king of the individual, Paul said there was no need for physical circumcision done by the hands of men that was required by Jewish law, but instead we have received a spiritual circumcision through Christ. Listen to this from the second chapter of Colossians. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of Christ, who raised him from the dead. Jesus the Christ. Christ or Messiah, meaning anointed one, just as a king is anointed to rule. Christ has sealed our covenant with God. There's no need for circumcision or dietary laws. In our scripture today, Paul said Christ was firstborn from the dead, meaning that Christ had overcome death, not only for himself, but for all of us. and that the blood of the cross, the sacrificial death of Christ, served to reconcile God and humanity. Christ the King. We've heard Jesus referred to as the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, the King of Glory. I've spoken today of Christ being the King of the universe and the King of the church. Perhaps the most important question we need to ask here today is, who is the King of my life? Christ is the King of the individual, but God has given us the authority to accept or reject the dominion of the King. Rejection of the dominion is not without its consequences. It means eternal separation from God. Acceptance of the dominion of the King comes with the promise of eternal life. On this Christ the King Sunday, may we honor Christ the King of the universe, Christ the King of the church, and Christ, most importantly, the King of our lives. May we close our service today by standing together to sing appropriately the hymn number 327, Crown Him with Many Crowns.